Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Cormdale Church and Pastor Chris of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're asking the question, should Confederate monuments be taken down?
This question is obviously on the radar in light of all that happened coming out of Charlottesville, Virginia, a few weeks ago, and all the conversations that sort of catapulted into the spotlight, especially in the American South, about race and about especially Confederate monuments. Obviously, the flashpoint in Charlottesville sort of surrounded the Robert E. Lee statue, and that was the sort of that was a rallying point for white supremacists, and it became a major subject of debate in the result of that weekend of chaos. And so we thought we'd take up this question. And we want to always on this podcast help Christians think carefully about issues of culture and help us apply the gospel to culture. And so what we want to do here is do a little bit of a point counterpoint. I think as we've talked around the table before we turn the mics on, all of us are a little bit undecided on sort of where to come down on this topic because it's a very complex topic. And so what I want to try to do is walk you into some of the complexity of the topic, helping you hear the voices of our African-American friends and how they hear and understand these monuments, especially in the South, and then also help you hear some of the good counter arguments to why these monuments shouldn't come down. So we're sort of going to take, first of all, the case, guys. Yes, let's take these down. And then let's spend a few minutes talking about the case for, no, these shouldn't be taken down. And let's just bat it around a little bit. The article that I believe makes the best case for why these Confederate monuments should come down was written by Matthew Frank a couple weeks ago in the Public Discourse. You can find it at thepublicdiscourse.com. The title is The Legacy of White Supremacy, Why Confederate Monuments Should Come Down. And what he focuses on is the history of when these monuments in public spaces actually went up. And I'm going to have Chris sort of review that for us here in a minute. But essentially what he does, he says, hey, if you have a monument in a cemetery, that's different. Cemeteries are where people honor the dead, and we don't need to, you know, we don't need to surmise about whether they were good people or bad people when they died. People honor their dead. That's a normal thing. But monuments in the public spaces in the South have quite a different story behind them. So real briefly, let's get clear on our Civil War history, because I sort of had to brush up on this to sort of remember the flow. So remember, the Civil War is 1861 to 1865. At the end of the Civil War, when the Southern states surrendered, we entered a period called Reconstruction, which lasted until 1877. During Reconstruction, the U.S. Army occupied the South. So the Northern Army basically set up governments in the South and sort of tried to contribute to reconstructing culture in the South. In 1877 or 8, someone might have to check my dates here, the Army troops were pulled out of the South due to some sort of political changes nationally. And what that left us then with was the Northern abolitionists who were sort of ensuring the free integration of blacks back into society in the South, all the force behind that was pulled out. And so what immediately took place was the white supremacists in the South, who had fought the Civil War because they wanted to preserve slavery, stepped back into power and essentially instituted Jim Crow, which was basically all the same white supremacy in the South, just without the institution of slavery present. So they said, hey, we might not be able to have slaves anymore, but we can certainly still make this a white man's society. And you need to understand that history to understand why these monuments in particular to our African-American brothers and sisters say something particularly. They don't just say this guy was a war hero and yeah, his side lost the war, but let's honor his war service. They say something much more. Chris, do you want to summarize sort of the article's point on how these statues came to be?
Yeah, and that's the important... So in making this argument of why these statues need to come down, that's the time in history we need to look at. It's if we shift this to talking about the Civil War and the motivations of the Civil War and the type, you know, Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, these characters in the Civil War, that's the wrong historical context for this. We have to look at Reconstruction, that period in the movement into Jim Crow, because with that, Union troops are pulled out. and Jim Crow and the segregation begin to take place, these monuments went up as sort of a way to reassert, you know, Southern culture, Southern iconography, so to speak, of like, this is our culture, these are our heroes, these are our people, and in some ways to say, hey, this is our past, we're not disassociating with it. And so you put up a statue of whether it be Robert E. Lee or Stonewall Jackson or some other Confederate war hero, it was essentially to say, hey, we may have lost the war, but we're not disassociating ourselves from our past. And so for our African-American brothers and sisters at this time, it's almost like, hey, you better know your place.
Yes.
And so in some ways, this was an act of intimidation and kind of this ongoing reminder that you may, quote unquote, have your freedom, but don't forget your place and your role in society.
Yeah, Matthew Frank says, these statues were meant to say to Black Americans, in the voice of the unreconstructed white majority, we're back in charge and don't you forget it.
Yeah, exactly. So there was a definite symbolism to these statues that went beyond just remembering ancestors in a past. It had to do with making a statement of who was in control at that time. And so to me, that's a pretty compelling argument.
That's the thing that it's important for white Christians, especially Northern white Christians, to comprehend, because I think sometimes lacking historical context, we can just say, well, what's the big deal about a statue? But when you understand the context of the American South and the statement these statues were intended to make, especially to Black citizens, they do take on, it does take on a much more serious and somber tone, and you realize, oh gosh, this is not just to memorialize some figure from the past. These statues many times were erected to make a statement in the present, 20 years later or 15 years later after the Civil War, about the place of whites and Blacks in Southern society.
This is important too, because if you consider how in Charlottesville you had these neo-Nazis, KKK, you know, these white supremacists trying to appropriate these statues. And when I first saw that, part of me was like, look, the Confederacy, yes, slavery, and that was tied into the Civil War and those piece, but a neo-Nazi and a Confederate, if you take away the race stuff, there's just, their histories aren't, there's a difference. Like Nazis, you don't get to take Southern culture and appropriate for yourself. So I kind of had these, like, the historian in me was having issues with these lunatics trying to appropriate statues that didn't belong to them. But then when you think about, though, this, that if those statues were put up as a way to intimidate, then those white supremacists were actually using the statues appropriately.
Exactly.
And so it was important. This is why history is important. And so you understand, actually, no, the purpose of these statues and what they were used for, These neo-Nazis understood that. And so once those things started to click, part of me is like, all right, we have erected monuments to men in order to intimidate a particular class of people. And that's just not helpful, good, right. That is wrong. And so that's a compelling argument. Yeah, pull them down.
One more reason to pull them down. I went and read the mayor's statement, also posted in The Atlantic. And he actually, you know, took some heat because he had one position that said, no, we can't remove these, and then changed his position based on what had happened that Saturday, and said, we need to remove them because it will never be possible again for the Lee statue to only tell the story of what happened during the Civil War and the Jim Crow era. The historical meaning now for these statues and forevermore will be a magnet for terrorism. So now he's even saying, the mayor of Charlottesville is even saying, hey, the statue now, because of 2017, has new meaning.
Which I get for Charlottesville. That makes sense. I don't think that logic applies as well to the rest of, like, to the broader question of even like the Mississippi state flag. One of the articles I read today was a statement from a bunch of historians in the state of Mississippi who have made a call for the Mississippi flag to be changed because the state of Mississippi flag includes the Confederate flag within it. I don't know if you've seen it, but you know, it's the Confederate flag within a state flag. And they're basically saying, hey, it's time for us to change our state flag. And their reasoning, Chris, is similar. It's saying a flag is a present tense symbol. it's not a memorial to something that happened in the past. It's we're flying it over the Capitol every day. Mm-hmm. And in so doing, in flying this flag all over the state, we're saying to blacks something particular about, like, this Confederate symbol meant something and is sort of flying something in their face that I don't think we want to be saying. And so it's one thing to say, let's honor the past, even its dark parts. Mm. It's another thing to say, should we keep a symbol in play in the present that continues to connote those things, especially to black Americans?
Yeah, and here's just a quick understanding with symbolism that I think is important to. There's a difference between taking something that, so if you take any, whether it be a flag or a statue, some sort of symbol, and trying to inject meaning into it on your own that's devoid of maybe history, and you can get a enough people to say, well, this is what we think it should mean, and all of a sudden change the cultural meaning. So you think of like a rainbow, you know, biblical imagery that has been appropriated by the gay and lesbian community. And so now when you see a rainbow, what do you automatically think? God's promise not to flood the earth? No. So symbols can change meaning. But if... And so that, again, was one of the things that when I initially thought about this, it was like, here are some people trying to inject new meaning into a statue or a symbol that wasn't there, and who gets to make those decisions. But we're not dealing with that. And I think some of us, that might be our knee-jerk reaction with these statues, is to say, hey, people are trying to make these mean something. They were never intended to be racist or never intended to do X, Y, Z. Well, actually check the history. Yes, they have been. And so because that is the case, that these symbols have represented this from the beginning, or these statues have represented from the beginning, what we're not seeing is someone trying to reappropriate something for their own cause. It's actually neo-Nazis using the meaning that it's always been there. So that's an important correction for those that maybe have had a misunderstanding of what, not all of these statues, but a good number of these statues have represented always since they've been put up. So, you know, clarifying that was helped me process this as well.
So the best the argument for taking them down, which I think Matthew Frank puts squarely, as he says, listen, let's resist the impulse to cleanse the whole country of all its monuments to those who fought for the South. He suggests the Confederate cemetery should be left alone, and so too should the obelisk in a small town square that merely names the war dead from that community. So he's saying, let's honor the fact that the Confederacy was part of American history. However, he says, we should give up the prominent statues and monuments in the great open spaces of our communities that we share with all our fellow citizens, for these are a gratuitous slap in the face of people who have felt the sting too much already. For a white Yankee like me, they're bad enough. For black Americans, they must be intolerable. Large and forgiving natures might look on the statues now as relics of an ugly past that the country has in many ways overcome. But recent events in Charlottesville suggest that overcoming is by no means a finished business. So I think he makes a good, well-reasoned case here that says, let's not go on a crusade to cleanse every Confederate monument in the world, but let's acknowledge that these public spaces do need to be treated differently, and the monuments that are there deserve to be taken down. So that's one side of the argument, and I think, especially as I've listened to thoughtful African-American friends who are Christians, that's the case they're going to make, is to say, hey, this is saying something on an ongoing basis to the black community that it's time for us to move past. These are symbols that represent racism, and we need to get rid of them. So let's turn now to the argument, why should we leave these statues up? And I don't think this is as, it probably doesn't feel as morally persuasive because of how clearly we can see the evil of racism. And I think how important it is for us, especially as majority culture Americans, to listen to, especially our African-American brothers and sisters at this moment in history. However, those who would make an argument against taking down these monuments and statues, I think would do so out of saying, well, let's not just be reactive, right? If these monuments have been here for 100 and something years, and they are connected to a certain history. Now, it's a sordid history. It's not a history we would necessarily want to celebrate. However, especially for those in the South, and look, I went to college in the South, and you got to realize the the aura of the Confederacy. Not all the white supremacy and the defense of slavery, but just the memory of the Confederate States is alive and well in the South and is a source of honor and pride. Now, no one would say we want to go back to the days of slavery. And I think, again, the danger is that in the South, man, all of that is bound up in a really weird, like, love of country, pride sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. And no one wants to talk about how connected it is to racism. So, like, mm-hmm. Southerners just want to say, man, we're just proud to be from the South. But they don't want to say part of the reason we're proud is because my great-great-grandfather, you know, was a racist. So there's complexities here. But I think the best argument for not taking down these monuments is just to say the fact that some neo-Nazis and some white supremacists are sort of capitalizing on a moment, to go back to what you were saying a few minutes ago, Chris, capitalizing on a moment and leaning into a certain image and symbol that sort of lends to their cause does not mean let's go across the South and erase every Confederate figure from any public space, because doing so, in a sense, erases history. If we've built monuments to these people, we might need to repent for why we thought they were worthy of emulating, or we might just need to say, this is the reality of history, is that there's no human being who's memorialized anywhere who doesn't have a sinful and colorful history themselves. And so I think the people who would make an argument against taking down even Confederate statues of people like Robert E. Lee would just say, hey, he wasn't a perfect man, but he does symbolize an era in our nation's history, and that era deserves some honor.
And another piece of this, too, is that many are making is the slippery slope piece. And so you got to be careful with slippery slope arguments. But what's interesting, though, I think, in our cultural moment is that the whole concept of a slippery slope seems to be much more likely nowadays.
That's a good point.
You know, thinking about, you know, months ago where Roger Ayer was talking about this with some of the issues with gay marriage and transgenderism, and how things that, you know, several years ago people are saying, no, we'd never do that, or it's never going to happen that way, now are becoming assumed to be a right that's been there for decades. And so I think
you're saying when Trump says, are we going to take down statues of George Washington, he's not completely illogical.
It's not completely, you know, as some people are trying to say, no, we'd never do that. But here's the thing, though, with the frenzy that we are in right now, where's the block? Where's the stop? And I think people have made some thoughtful differences between Jefferson and Washington and someone like Robert E. Lee and others. But that doesn't mean that those arguments are going to hold. That when there's this sense of being aggrieved, that is such a heightened state that anyone who has offended or done something wrong has to go. And so, I'm honestly not convinced that this stops at Confederate statues. Now, is someone going to pull down the Washington Monument? No. The Jefferson Memorial? No. But there are other things that could happen. And so I think there is some legitimacy to this idea that us as moderns, and the way that we can have this tendency to judge history and other people, that we could find ourselves doing something akin to what happened in China or Russia or even the French Revolution, where we decide we're just going to start scrubbing history of all of the things we deemed unacceptable. And that's scary. So if that sounds crazy, like I'm going off the deep end, just consider the past couple years in our society and how crazy town is the norm. So just throwing that out there.
Well, let me ask a question here. So other nations who have huge black marks on their history, Germany, they did a lot to try to erase Nazism and Hitler. Eventually in the 80s, tearing down the wall. So yeah, like
no statues to Adolf.
Right. So like we wouldn't condemn that. So why wouldn't we condemn like erasing the glorifying of white supremacy?
Yeah, this is a really good question, Mike. And I actually was in a conversation with someone recently about this and how whether you buy the argument that I'm going to throw out here, and I'm doing this more as explanation than saying this is where I am entirely, but the way that our country has chosen to remember the Civil War has always been with a certain level of complexity. even in the North.
Well, right, because you're trying to reunify a nation that just a bunch of states that just left.
Right.
And so,
right.
And you just took away the institution that the war was fought over, which is the right thing to do. But you're trying to say, how do we obliterate your half of the country and then sort of win you back over? Mm-hmm. And that's always complex, right? You're trying to not slap those people in the face and say, how can we find something to honor in your legacy, even though we just thought it was important enough to go to war over slavery?
Yeah. And again, whether you buy this argument, I mean, there is levels of debate of slavery. It's undeniable slavery was part of the Civil War and was part of the reason the war was fought. But how that plays into other factors is debated depending on who you are, where you are, your perspective. Mm-hmm. But there is a complexity to the Civil War that has been honored and people have tried to appreciate, which has also kind of contributed to this sense of handling it in a more nuanced way. And so we've sort of chosen as a nation to do it that way, recognizing that, and again, there's a difference between the Confederacy in some ways than what Nazi Germany did.
Sure, sure.
So yeah, we are, and maybe in some ways, if we should have just, you know, dropped the hammer, made it very clear cut, very black and white, everything that can wipe every vestige of the Confederacy off the face of our nation and just moved on, and we might not have some of the issues we have. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we chose a different way, and we're having to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. And I think our African-American friends would say, and we chose the wrong way. We need to go, you know, the way we chose was basically how to honor white Southerners, yeah, not how do we honor, yeah, black Southerners, yeah, you know? Yeah. And so, like, there's an argument to be made there, yeah, that I think is interesting. But to your point, I would at least say, even someone like Robert E. Lee is a complex figure. He's clearly favorable to slavery and probably, like, as clear a racist as there is. And yet, in terms of wartime figures, he also was a really gracious loser. Like, he tried really hard to reunify the country after. Like, he, what the Southern people appreciate about him is he was honorable in defeat, right? Now,
which is hard to find.
Should he have gone to war in the first place? No, like, you see what I'm saying? Should the Civil War have happened? No, if the Southern states would have been willing to surrender the institution of slavery. So it is a complex history, Chris, and it's, you know, the statues of Robert E. Lee, right? Are we honoring a man who was a military leader and a gentleman, which is how the Southerners would want to see him? He's the epitome of a Southern gentleman. He's honorable in defeat, you know. But was he a gentleman? Well, not if you're a black American whose ancestors were slaves.
Well, so here, okay, so to kind of bring the slippery slope piece back in, okay, you take Robert E. Lee and a guy like Thomas Jefferson. And you can kind of compare, hold up their sins, so to speak. So you have Robert E. Lee, who led the Confederacy. There was that piece, but let's say had slaves and his racism, like all of those things. And then you look at Jefferson again, didn't fight for the Confederacy, but had slaves. He had a complicated view of slavery in some ways, but he didn't lead an army, but he just slept with his slaves, and you know. So there's kind of sexual immorality, yeah, you know? So, geez, you know, like holding up different, yeah, guys' sins. And I know, you know, I'm not trying to say, well, one sin's the same as the other, but you can go down this rabbit hole and find justification to pull down monuments to Jefferson and, you know, maybe Washington's a little bit harder, but we can, you can find the sin if you're looking hard enough and if you want it. And so,
well, let's maybe we can draw a line here that's clean and clear. I don't know if that's possible.
That'd be good.
But let's at least say symbols that honor the Confederacy. So let's use the Confederate flag or even the state flag of Mississippi, right? Because I think what a thoughtful African American would say about Robert E. Lee is, okay, great. So him and Jefferson were both sort of complicated when it came to their understanding, you know, how they viewed black Americans. However, Jefferson did not lead an army of a bunch of states who seceded from the Union over that issue. Like, Robert E. Lee was preserving the institution of slavery and willing to go to war over it. Thomas Jefferson might have been complicated in how he related to his slaves, but he wasn't going to war to preserve the institution of slavery, right? Mm-hmm. So if we just think about what's the social cost, if I'm an African American trying to honor and deal with the complexity of history, right? It's one thing to say lots of white Americans had slaves and that was wrong. It's another thing to say there was a bunch of states who thought slavery was so important to their existence that they were willing to secede from the Union and go to war over it. And I think that's the thing we have to acknowledge. And so that would make me say, mm-hmm. I would lean in the direction of saying, man, symbols that honor the old Confederacy, though to my Southern friends, I understand there's a piece of history that sort of just feels like mythically, you know, endearing.
It's part of the story.
The institution that was behind that, we need to be able to look back on and say, yeah, there's no reason for us to honor that institution.
You're going to get so many emails and messages for this one. All of our Southern friends and listeners that are going to defend the honor of Robert E. Lee and the motivations of the Civil War.
We'll just forward them to
Just send them the, all the historical documents that are, all the historical documents like Mississippi's secession ordinance, which says our position is thoroughly identified with the institution of slavery, the greatest material interest of the world. A blow at slavery is a blow at commerce and civilization. Yeah. Okay, so when that's what your state says when they secede, you can say whatever you want about what the Civil War was about. It was about slavery. And if you think it was about states' rights, I'd love to have that argument.
Next week. I mean, that is the main argument, that it's part of our history, it's who we are, and sure, we look back on it now, especially in the wake of what's happened a couple weekends ago, last Saturday, two Saturdays ago, and you go, man, this is bad. But at the same time, I think they're going to say, yeah, but it's also part of the narrative, and everybody has a bad narrative at some point.
Yes. So you've heard the case for removing the statues, some of the arguments against removing Confederate statues and monuments. How do we land this thing in a way that sort of gives us more to think about as Christians who love the gospel? I think the gospel requires us to honor two things here. One is the idea of listening. So listening both to African-American friends and to Southerners, to Southern friends who, Southern white Christians perhaps. So I want to hear both those voices, and I want to sort of be able to understand the arguments that both are making. And I do want to honor the complexity of history. But perhaps more importantly, if we're going to be gospel-centered Christians, we have to realize that our definition of justice has to come from God himself and from the scriptures. And so my concern about any sort of rush to tear down a bunch of statues is we are sort of caught up in a national moment of cause. Right, there's like a lot of energy going into like, well, let me read you from another article I read. One of the reasons we should resist toppling these statues is because it is being done in a frenzy of faux righteousness with people trying to gin up a sense of purity. At least I'm better than the neo-Nazis. At least I'm better than those slave owners. Well, even if you were better, and many are not, you would still need Jesus. So I think the danger here is when in our society, tearing down statues and condemning white supremacy can pass for a sense of righteousness, right? Of at least I'm not like that. It's sort of like that prayer that Jesus, the Pharisee praying, at least I'm not like those people over there. That's not what the gospel says. The gospel says, man, we all have blood on our hands. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest that our history of racism in the country is a huge blight on our national history and on our story. But let's also be honest that we also have a blight called abortion, right? And some similar national sins that we don't seem as ready to repent of nationally. And so we need to be careful here that we don't sort of rush in our rush to want to show solidarity, especially with those who are fighting racism and white supremacy, that we don't at the same time get caught up in the sense that gives us a sense of moral superiority and righteousness, yeah, that at least we're against this altogether, when in reality what the gospel would say is, I need to look at both my white supremacist neighbor and my anti-fascist neighbor, whatever the opposite of white supremacy is currently, and say, both of you need Jesus. Like, there's not a moral high ground here. Mm-hmm. All of us need to repent. And so I think the gospel allows us to move out and say, let's repent of our racism. Let's repent of the history of our country. Let's repent of the ways that, especially in the South, we've propped up a certain slap in the face to black citizens of our country. But let's also be willing to repent of all the other sins in our lives. And let's not sort of prioritize sins based on what's currently popular to talk about.
I think all of that's just a good reminder that we all have self-righteousness and hatred in our hearts that needs to be repented of.
For me too, one of the things that I try to impress upon people is having these conversations, even for myself, is that it's getting caught up in the frenzy of the moment and the kind of the cause of the day. And this is one of the things that Doug Wilson points out very well, is that it can strip us of our ability to think biblically and think well, and to draw these very harsh us against them type categories. And so the need to think biblically, think charitably, and to temper the frenzy of the cultural moment with biblical wisdom is important. And so whether you're for pulling these statues down or whether you would defend that they need to stay up, being willing to engage thoughtfully and charitably and biblically and humbly is so important and pushes back against the kind of extremism that we saw take place in Charlottesville. So I think that's important for Christians to engage this well, no matter where you are on this.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's conversation. Our goal for this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that the things that we've talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Please shoot us your topic ideas at podcast@cdomaha.com. Give us a review on iTunes, and please join us again next week for another Wednesday conversation.